For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Psalm 116, in the Scriptures today, a great psalm in the Word of God. They're all great, aren't they? And Psalm 116, and we'll look at several verses. And Thomas, good to see you and Lauren here today. God bless you all. And verse 1, the Bible says, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. Let's read that again. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd add Your blessing to the reading and preaching of Your Word today. Thank You for the great songs that have prepared our heart for the message. I pray You'd do something in our midst. In Jesus' name, I pray that You'd comfort those that are hurting. I pray that You'd encourage those that are already serving. I pray that You'd help those that are discouraged. I pray that You'd save those that are lost. Amen. Here in Psalm 116, we're not sure who the psalmist is. Sometimes when we don't know who the psalmist is, we say the psalmist. So we know it was a psalmist. Possibly it was David. If it was David, David wrote most of the psalms in the Scriptures, 150 psalms. He wrote most of them, and Moses, of all people, wrote one. Isn't that great? And but if it is David writing this psalm, we don't know exactly. A lot of times we can piece together what he was referencing. For example, in Psalm 23, he was referencing the death of Absalom. When Absalom had rebelled and then Joab had killed him as he hung by his hair from an oak and ran darts through his heart. Then, you know, that's when he wrote, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He had a broken heart when he wrote that. We don't know what instance maybe or incident that David was referring to here. We know that he'd had many that he could mention. And we're not sure which one he's talking about here. But I want to speak this morning on this subject, the power of your testimony. The power of a testimony. We all have a story to tell. We all have a testimony. We all have a testimony. And when I say a testimony, I mean a story. We have a personal story, a personal testimony of our faith in Jesus Christ. People give testimonials. People give testimonials. People have mission statements. I think, and we've talked about that, everybody ought to have some reason or purpose for living. What's your mission statement? What's your testimony? What is your testimonial? If you're going to share that today. We all have something to share and something to tell. I was reminded of testimony, the testimony of a ministry this week, as I sadly saw this weekend where a Highland Park Baptist Church, the Chauncey Good Auditorium and adjacent buildings had burned there in Chattanooga, Tennessee. What a sad, 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 sad story that is. And but I thought of the testimony of that place in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Some of you attended school there. How many of you attended Tennessee Temple years ago? At least a semester, okay? And we're all familiar with that. I know you've had pastors here that attended and graduated from Tennessee Temple. All of my pastors that I served under were Tennessee Temple graduates. I feel like a Temple graduate. I quote Dr. Robertson a lot and think of him often. And most of my friends are Tennessee Temple alumni. And I thought of the testimony of that place, the testimony left behind. I think of the thousands upon thousands that were saved and baptized through the ministry of Highland Park Baptist Church. But I thought of all the preachers and missionaries that are out. John Gossett, who just went back to Trinidad, of course, was influenced by Tennessee Temple University. And I think of influence, I think of testimony. But I thought about this, even though those buildings are a total loss today, that testimony continues. That testimony lives on. And, you know, there are heartaches and trials in life, and our testimony lives far beyond us. I mentioned Abel last week, and the Bible says that he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, that by that sacrifice he, being dead, yet speaketh. He had a testimony. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. He had a testimony. Moses, moved with fear, built an ark. He had a testimony. He had a testimony. We all have a testimony. And the writer here gives a testimony. And it's a wonderful testimony of God's faithfulness and God's help in time of trouble. What is your testimony today? I want to encourage you in that, because a lot of times I think we think if we're going to be effective witnesses and soul winners for Jesus Christ, then we have to know all the Bible, all the background of every book of the Bible, every verse of the Bible, every author of the Bible, and we don't. I think it'd be good if we did. I think we ought to strive to know the Bible better and study to show ourselves approved unto God, but we all have a testimony to share. And one of the most powerful things that you have as a Christian is a testimony. And let me encourage you, maybe because you've not shared your testimony more, you've not been as bold a witness as you could have been. We all have a testimony. We all have a story to share. And you say, preacher, I don't know the Romans road. I don't know John's journey. I don't know how to use any soul-winning plan. I don't know Operation Go. I don't understand all of that. I can't get all those verses in my heart and mind, but you do have a testimony. You can share what God did for you. What is a witness? A witness is someone who shares what God did for them. And the writer here says, I love the Lord because. You can say that. I love the Lord because. And he says, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. I've divided this chapter, 19 verses, into three parts. First of all, we see the psalmist praise in verses 1 and 2. I read that. He's praising God. Then we see the psalmist problems in verses 3 through 11. You know, I think he had priorities in order, because he praised God before he told us his problems. In other words, God had already given him the victory. And so we see his problems in verses 3 through 11. Then we see his priorities in verses 12 through 19. Let's first of all notice his praise. He said, I love the Lord. I think here we see what really constitutes a testimony. What constitutes a testimony? You know, a lot of times we think about testimonies. Let's have a testimony time. Let's share some testimonies. And a lot of times those testimonies never mention Jesus, never mention God. And I know every time is different and all of that, but what should a testimony include? Well, I think it ought to include the Lord. He said, I love the Lord because. Why do you love the Lord? Because. And notice it says, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. He's heard my prayer for salvation. He's heard me in my time of the valley and darkness. He's heard my pleadings. I love the Lord because of that. And notice in verse 2, he said, I love the Lord because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. He said, I love the Lord because he heard my voice. I love the Lord because he hears my pleadings in the valley, and in the valley he restores my soul. I love the Lord because he inclined his ear unto me. The idea here is of someone who's so faint that you can hardly hear them, and they're dying, and they're sinking, they're in trouble, and they're getting ready to pass on. And the idea here is of the physician leaning over where he can hear the faint whispers of those that are passing over. Of course, we have a great physician in heaven. We have a shepherd in heaven that leans over from heaven and listens to our prayers. That humbles me when I think about that. By the way, he doesn't have to lean over and hear us. But the fact that he has inclined his ear unto me, that he has inclined his ear unto you. That's a tremendous thing that God in heaven, the psalmist said in Psalm 8, what is man? What are we that God would care for us? What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Look across the page there in Psalm 115 and verse 12, where he says, the Lord hath been mindful of us. That God would be mindful of us when many times we're not so mindful of him. I was going my way before God saved me. And I'll tell you what, he interrupted my path, and I'm glad that he did. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, we who are finite do not always recognize the cry of the hurting, but he does. So he's praising God. A testimony ought to be praising God. Because it doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be wordy. It just has to be effective. It just has to be truth. And like I said last hour, when you tell the truth, you don't have to worry about what you said last time. That God would incline his ear unto me. Therefore, I'll call upon him as long as I live. And then he says, well, let me tell you how bad it was before God bailed me out. By the way, he did bail us out. He brought me out of the horrible pit, set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he did that for you too. But notice not only his praise, but his problems. He said in verse 3, the sorrows of death. I think of what Job said, man who is born of woman is full of days, is of many days and full of trouble. Life's a bumpy road, isn't it? The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. I found trouble. I think what David was saying was trouble found me. Trouble found me. He said sorrow found me. There are those here today that are sorrowing. And I think to their testimony, they're here in church today. I mean, they're going to the funeral home today. They're going to the funeral home tomorrow, Tuesday. And to their credit, they came today serving God and in their place, even though the sorrows of death compassed them. The pains of hell got hold upon me. He said, I found trouble and sorrow. I'll tell you what, if you're not in trouble, trouble will find you. Stay out of trouble. Stay out of trouble that's self-inflicted and self-induced. Trouble, you'll have plenty of trouble in life without looking for trouble. When I was growing up, I it seemed like it just every time I turned around, I was in a fight or something. And I soon learned this. I soon learned it was a whole lot better to negotiate than get beat on all the time. My brother was much taller than me and bigger. And my brother used to line up fights for me. Just to toughen me, make me tougher. He said, I'm just doing that. I'm doing it for your good. Somebody'd say something, he'd say, you're not going to take that, are you? And I said, well, he's a lot bigger than me. I thought I would. I thought I'd just take that. That's why I have a bigger brother, you know. But if there was more than one, my big brother was in there helping me. Say amen right there. Pays to have a good big brother. Trouble will find you. Trouble will find you. The world and the flesh and the devil, hey, they found me. And he said this, then called I, verse 4, look at it. Look in verse 4, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And he makes three amazing statements about the Lord. He said that the Lord is gracious, the Lord is righteous, and the Lord is merciful. He says, thank God. He saved me. And he may have been talking about not only a spiritual saving, but also a physical saving, that God helped me out of a problem. But listen, the greatest problem you have here today is a salvation problem, a sin problem. And God graciously provided salvation for you. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and crowned with honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Put that in your Calvinist pipe and smoke it. If you're a Calvinist, you probably smoke a pipe. But he said in verse 9, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Every man. Every man's salvation. I believe that God believes in an every man salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And if there's a must be, there is an opportunity to be saved. The Lord's gracious. He's full of grace. The Lord is righteous. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Then he said in verse 5, God's merciful. He's full of mercy. Grace is us receiving what we did not deserve. Mercy is us not receiving what we did deserve. We deserved judgment, but we got mercy. We deserved hell, but we got grace. Isn't God good? And I think here he's saying, even in the midst of problems, I don't think he was reading a list of things and complaining. I think he was reading a list of things that God had delivered him from. He said, I'll tell you what, the Lord I serve heard my voice. The Lord I serve inclined his ear to me. The Lord I serve is gracious and righteous and merciful. And by the way, those attributes ought to be found in God's people. He said in verse 6, the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. I was brought low. I've heard the testimony of many who have said, if I had not been brought low, if I had not been humbled, I never would be where I am today. And he said, return unto thy rest, O my soul. Verse 7, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling. These are great verses. You say, preacher, I don't know what to say in a testimony. Memorize this. Just memorize this. This would be a good place to start. Let me tell you that God's gracious. Let me tell you that God is merciful. Let me tell you that God is righteous. And I was at the bottom of the barrel, scraping the bottom of the barrel, and God drew me out. Set my feet upon a rock. The psalmist wrote about that in Psalm 139, and he says this in verse 5, thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. David said, God's in front of me, God's behind me, and he's laid his hand on top of me. And he says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, he said, thou art there. God's there. If I make my bed in hell, he's speaking rhetorically, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand hold me and thy right hand shall hold me, help me, lead me. Surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light upon about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but don't miss this, but the night shineth as the day. Don't miss this, the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. The darkness and the light are both alike to God. God's not disturbed by what we're going through, but sometimes our lives are disturbed. God gives us a disturbance. God puts our lives on pause. God brings us low. God allows those things that we might praise Him and see His strength is in our weakness. Notice He said, even there. What's your even there? Even there, shall thy hand lead me. Even there, If I ascend up into heaven, even there God will help me. If I go to hell, even there. If I make my bed in hell, if I make my bed where the dead are, he said, even there God will be with me. Even there, the darkness and the light are both alike to God. We're afraid of the darkness. Run to the light. That's what he says here in verse 8 of Psalm 116. Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Powerful testimony, David, that God would save me. That he's delivered my soul from death. Not only that, he's delivered mine eyes from tears. He's delivered mine eyes from tears. And notice this, my feet from falling. my feet from falling. Paul said, we sorrow not as others which have no hope. And so he said, I'll walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore, have I spoken, verse 10. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. So he's finished with the praise. He's not done praising. Actually, as he gives his problems, he's praising. Sometimes people give their problems and they're not praising. But they're getting there. You know why? Because they're vocalizing. You know why? Because they're visualizing. You know why? Because they're headed toward victory. You know why? Because as long as you're talking about it and sharing it, someone can help you and bear your burdens with you. And as long as you're talking about it, you can vocalize it to God, and God can give you the victory. But notice what he said in verse 11. And we do this. He said, I said in my haste, all men are liars. You ever notice that when you get in the pit or get in the valley, and you get in the place of discouragement, we always think the very worst. And he said in verse 11, I said in my haste, all men are liars. All men are liars. We saw a wonderful testimony, Dr. Gibbs, Wednesday night at the end of the message about voices. And he said, you know, there are a lot of voices in our heads today. But the voice of God is one that we need to ring true and listen to, the voice of God. We ought to trust the word and not the feeling. And sometimes all those voices are coming and we just say in our haste, all men are liars. We get that Elijah complex. We're under the juniper tree. We're the only one serving. And we're not. We're not. It was a blessing to hear one of Rachel's family say the other day, said, sometimes, you know, you kind of get in your space and your church and you feel like, man, and it's good to visit another church and see that God's blessing there too. And that's an encouragement. It's encouragement to him. It's encouragement to me to hear that. And so he mentions that his problems. He opens with praise, but notice what that did. It gave him a new priority. Look at verse 12. So he said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits to me? What shall we render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward us? You know, there's no way we could pay back all that he's done for us. But we have a testimony. Share your testimony. Share your testimony. Be a blessing to others. He said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits to me? I'll take the cup of salvation. He was, I think, maybe referring possibly back to the book of Leviticus, that drink offering. But as we read this, we think of the cup of salvation. And he said, I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord. That was his summary of the whole thing. We have some lawyers here today. That used to make me nervous, but it kind of makes me feel safer these days, having a few lawyers around. Amen. And we have some police officers here too, and some nurses. I feel a lot better about the service already, you know. And some doctors, and a dentist, amen. But you think about a lawyer gives a summarization. They give a summary, depending on what kind of lawyer they are. I think of Brother Olof used to preach that message, Dr. Law and Dr. Grace. David steps up and he says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? He said, I've told you my problems. I've given you my praise. Now, what am I going to do with that? He gives a summarization of the whole thing. And I think he gives it concisely, and I think he gives it where we can understand it. He said, I'm just going to keep on doing what I've been doing. I'm going to take the cup of salvation. I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord. I'm going to pay my vows, verse 14, unto the Lord now in the presence of all of his people. What was his summary? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He said, that's my summary, even though it wasn't written yet. I think that's what he was saying. He said, I'll pay my vows unto the Lord. I'll call upon the name of the Lord. I'll take the cup of salvation. And he says this, Vicki, he says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Brother Dwayne, precious, precious. The sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That's why I believe that whatever this was, David was going through a difficult time because he'd seen some loved ones pass away. He visited the cemetery, I think, often. And he said this, in the sight of the Lord. That's why the Bible says, I think in Ecclesiastes, that the day of one's death is greater than the day of their birth for the believer, because precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I'm thy servant. I'm thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. He said, what will I do? I will render unto the Lord thanksgiving. Verse 17, I offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. He had an attitude of gratitude. I'll call upon the name of the Lord. I'll pay my vows in the presence of his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of the... He said, I'm going to keep going to church. He said, I'm going to keep praising, keep praying, keep my priorities right. The power of a testimony. Do you have a testimony? Have you drank the cup of salvation? In other words, have you received Jesus as your Savior? If you died today, are you 100% sure that you go to heaven? If you don't have a testimony, let us introduce you to the one that can give you a testimony today, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is our shepherd. We don't need to want. He makes us lie down in green pastures. That's a testimony. He leads us beside the still waters. We have a testimony in the face of hardship David had. In the face of death David had, David said, precious in God's sight is the death of his saints. We sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. We sorrow not as others which have no hope. Keep praising, keep praying, keep your priorities where they ought to be, and keep rendering unto the Lord what we owe Him, service. It's good to know. He inclines His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. I found trouble. I knew the Lord, and I still found trouble. But God was working. All things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Share your testimony. Don't sit on it. Don't sit on your testimony. I've heard people talk about in church, well, I was sitting on my testimony. Well, it's easy to give a testimony in church, but share your testimony out there. That's where God will build your faith when you begin to share what God's done for you. $5 gas. Yeah, God's filling my barrel. I ate well this morning. Yeah. Columbia gas going up 27% increase. God's still on the throne. 10,000 people coming to the border. It's probably 15. God's still on the throne. And we could go on and on. Where's your testimony? I love the Lord because. You fill in the blank. I love the Lord because He saved me. I love the Lord because He filled me with His Spirit. I love the Lord because I'm satisfied in Him. I love the Lord because He supplies my every need. I love the Lord because of His faithfulness. I love the Lord because He is God. Psalm 1.